Open your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. I hope you've been enjoying you want to know the Christian life and the components of the Christian life. I've been dominated with one phrase in all of the studies I'm doing in the Word of God. This one phrase is that I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I think about it every day. I think about it constantly. It is my heart's desire. I believe it's at the center of our great need is to be transformed, and it's by the renewing of our mind. I gave you some thoughts on what I think that means. I think it's centered in the Word of God. But I've talked to the Lord this week. I said, Lord, if I don't even have a clue how that's done or what that means, would you do it? Or help me. Help me that I would submit to you, and I want to be transformed. I do not want to be just some guy going through the motions. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that at all. I want to be transformed. I want to prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then last week we looked at it's not about us. It's not about us. It's so important. And it's important groundwork as we go into tonight's passage, just dealing with spiritual gifts. And just not a knockout title tonight. It's just called Spiritual Gifts. We're going to look at the seven in Romans here. I'm not going to look at the other gifts that are mentioned in Corinthians and a few other passages, right? You could argue that there might be listed in the scriptures up to 20 gifts. We're going to look at these seven. I like these. They're outside of the first one that I think really has been done away since we have the perfect Word of God. We'll talk about that. But here's, I want you to understand this. We're going to first look at some principles. Let's read the passage. Let's read the passage, and then I'll begin to preach. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Let's begin with verse 3, and that'll get the momentum. Let's begin with verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Again, title of the message tonight is just spiritual gifts. What I want to do is I want to walk through some principles. Now, tonight's message is to believers. And I want you to understand this, that I'll let the principles, I've laid them out to try to help discipline my thoughts. First, I want you to understand this. All gifts are due to the grace of God. I probably should have put, my fourth one is, what I want to tell you is that every believer in here, are you born again? Are you saved? You know you are a follower of Christ. You can get discouraged because this flesh, you're battling this flesh, and there's not one good thing in this flesh. And if you focus too much on you, you'll be discouraged. Keep your eyes on Christ. I do want you to understand this, that every single believer in here, God has gifted you, and he has gifted you for his honor and for his glory, but all gifts are due to the grace of God. Look at this in verse 6. It just says that. I want you to see. I'm not making this up. He said, then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. It brings me to my second principle. Gifts differ between believers. I don't have the same gifts as Stephen and Randall and Noah and Liz, and I could go on and on. We have different gifts. There may be some of you that have the same gifts as others, but it's different. It's the grace of God. It doesn't make one person better than another. It just makes one person different than another, and it's beautiful when you understand the picture that God uses of each independent, autonomous church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that each independent, autonomous, I'm not going to go through all those terms, is a complete functioning body of Christ with Christ as the head. And God brings members in here so that we can function together. There's just no reality, no reference to that in the scripture. It's not like Hope Baptist Church is the pinky of this huge body of Christ. No, Hope Baptist Church is a complete independent, functioning body of Christ. And as God unites people with us, as God saves people and they follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, then I believe this. You've got to understand, you may not look at this, but I know this as a pastor. I go, God brought that person into our church for a specific purpose. It may be for a ministry that we don't even have today. Don't depend on me to think of everything. I used to think that, you know, when we first started, it was kind of like, hello, it was the Halls. And we didn't do Vacation Bible School when we first started because it would be the Halls. And we loved doing all that stuff, but now we do Vacation Bible School and I don't do much. And I know there's a risk. Everybody goes, man, I'd like to be a pastor and do nothing. But I love it. It's a beautiful scene. It's a beautiful scene as I watch our people just love on children. And it's one of my most enjoyable times is just watching a church function as a church. And so they differ. I want you to understand this. Gifts are given to edify. That means to build up, to encourage, to strengthen each church. Now I'm going to show you this because you see in verse 6 it says, having then gifts differing. So that's where we get that there's different gifts for one another. According to the grace, that's where we get that it's due to the grace of God. Now I want to take you to, maybe I'll just have you, I'll take you to 1 Corinthians. We'll look at two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you get a little bit more familiar with your Bible, 1 Corinthians 14 is kind of like the tongues chapter, if you want to think of it that way. And tongues kind of, got carried away, right? It just became like, man, I want to speak in tongues. How cool is that, right? And it just got carried away. And so God gives some instruction, not only relating to tongues, but relating to gifts overall. And so I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 14. I should have told you, for those that it's just one book after Romans. And so it says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. It says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. So, you know, it's good. You want a desire to have gifts that you can use for the glory of God, for the benefit of the Lord's churches. He says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, here's something better. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now then looked at verse 26 in that same chapter. He says this. He says, how is it then, brethren? He says, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. He said, let all things be done unto edifying. Now, this is very important that you understand this. And so this will help you. This will help you understand. You don't have to be like me. And I know this. My emphasis, I think it's the Scripture's emphasis, just so you know, I think I'm being scriptural, is that we should be externally focused. We plant churches, we send missionaries so the people will be saved, right? Amen? But I'll tell you what's important. No one will be saved if a church doesn't get along and we just are bickering and fighting and fussing and feuding and we're so worried about us that we never pay attention to the people outside of these four walls. Not a lot of lost people here tonight, or at least not a lot of people that profess to be lost, right? We got to go where they're at, right? Now, I love that, so just so you know, I'm not backing off on that. I believe that's the Scriptures. But here's where you help, and I need your help. It is so critical that God gives us gifts for the benefit of the body. Remember that. And so when you see me and you say, man, that preacher doesn't blah, 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 right? And I don't get that here. I mean, at least you never tell me. I don't think there's a bunch of bickering, griping, complaining. I'm a blessed man. There's no doubt about it. So I'm not saying that, you know, but it goes through your mind. Of course it does, don't you? I wish Pastor would. Probably doesn't, does it? And so, there's no perfect parent, there's no perfect pastor. But when you say, I wish pastor would, maybe that's you. Maybe God's gifted you to fulfill that, right? I'm telling you, the expectations of American pastors, I can't do what the expectation of American pastors is, right? That's why he brings members here to help do that, and he gifts you to help do that, right? The expectation, I can't be everywhere, and I can't. I want to tell you this, I've gotten more comfortable. I used to be the cruise director when I first started, when we first planted Hope Baptist Church, man. I mean, we were doing everything, every activity, and we had a lot of activities, right? Because I could do all that stuff. That was my comfort zone, right? And but then I, you know this, I love ladies' activities. I love men's activities. Not too much. My only role now is like, whoa, horsey, we're getting too internally focused. And I don't think we're at that point. I don't want us to get to that point, but I think it's important. I think it's important that we learn to love one another before we can love the world, right? Not love the world in the sense of love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but love souls, right? So it's critical. I want you to know this. I can't do it all, nor is that my role as a pastor to do it all. That's why he brings members in particular, and he brings you with gifts and skills and talents, and he blesses you supernaturally in order to fill the gaps, in order to help us be a church that is in unity and in harmony and in peace, so that we are ready to go and preach the gospel to the world. I really believe that's the whole objective, just so you know. So it comes back to my heart, my passion, okay? And I want you to know this. I'm not against all of that. I need your help. I really do. So I love when I see things, the ladies just being gloriously feminine, and the men, you know, just working with the men, and our, it's good. I need your help. And so it's critical that we understand this. Whatever your gift is, it's for the edification, the encouragement, the building up of this church, if you're part of this church. And so, praise the Lord for that. I need that as a pastor, and I benefit from that. And sometimes, just so you know, sometimes as a pastor, I've got to let it be less than. And I know the Lord will always take care of it, and he does. And you'll grow, and you'll learn, and I'll be patient, and I'm not judging you. I promise you. And, you know, people have said this to me before. They said, hey, it doesn't have to be run like it is at P&G. You know, I mean, I didn't do that to him, but it's, I do believe this. We ought to do everything with excellence. You know this? I love this. Don takes good care of this lawn, doesn't he? He's trying. I mean, I saw some clover. I'm going to get out. No, I'm just kidding. But if you saw this grass 7 years ago, whoa. It's like angry at you. You're like, oh, yeah. You know, the grass is, Don works hard. You know what I love? Our mulch beds, our weeds, it'll look better than your house. I think it should. And so, but I want to help you understand this. I'm not judging you. I'm not going, you should have. No, you know what I love? There's nothing more meaningful to me than you striving to honor and do something good. I'm going to mention this, and if he's watching, he'll understand. You remember when our walls were painted out here, and they were spackled, and it was a disaster of love. And so it was one of our men from our Arabic work that we're a fledgling work that we're striving to reach Arabic speaking people, and he wanted to do a kind act. I will tell you this. Didn't bother me. Might have bothered my wife more than me, because she's worried about the decorations and all that stuff, you know. And so me, I'm kind of colorblind, and it's like, you know, I appreciate the thought, but I know I'm in trouble. And so, but I want to tell you this. Didn't bother me. Because you know what? It was from the heart. And I think there was something beautiful about it. I made sure, please don't do that again until you talk to me. But it's beautiful. Do you understand that? You gotta let your kids try and utterly fail and ruin food and, you know, break a window, and not on purpose, but you know, so I want you to know this. I know this. We will never be the church that we were meant to be unless you exercise the gifts God's given you. And I want you to know this. We'll see this in a little bit. You need to exercise those gifts and work on those gifts, and you can improve those gifts. And so what that means is it's going to be a little messy. I'm okay with that as a pastor. Let's just be humble. Let's just be sincere where we can receive feedback, and I need to be able to receive feedback too. I'm not going to give you feedback, you know, first time, second time, maybe the third time, but we'll help you, right? We'll help you. If you, after this message, you're saying, I have no idea what my gifts are, let's study the scriptures together. We'll help you. Ladies with ladies, men with men. But I want you to know this. That's the purpose. And so that's where you all are going to help me tremendously. God wants me to be focused on teaching and feeding his sheep. It's a great priority that he's given me. And you allow me to do that as well with Bible studies, pursuing souls, and discipleship. I'm trying to lead that with you. I want all of you to have disciples. I want all of you to be pursuing souls. But you'll never do that if your pastor's not doing that. You understand that? And I love doing it anyway. And you allow me to do that. And I thank you for that. So what I need is I need you to exercise your gifts for the benefit, the building up, the encouragement of this particular body. Amen. I need you. And it's God's plan, and I love it. I love it. So it's not lack of interest. It's just I can't do it all. And I've watched this. It's amazing. It's good, and I love it. But gifts are given to edify the church. I said this earlier. Every believer has at least one gift. I will, let me just read a couple passages for you. It says this in Ephesians 4:7. It says, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says this, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Again, I want to tell you this. You may think you are giftless. If you're a believer, that's not true. And so I want you to seek the scriptures, ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want to know what my gift is. And I will tell you, this is as simple as this. What are you good at and what do you love? You understand this? And here's another one. I read this. I thought it was kind of interesting. I'll just throw this out there for you to think about. What do you complain about? The teacher that's given the gift of teaching usually complains about the bad teaching. Right? The servant usually complains about that nobody's serving. The person that's given the gift of mercy is upset because we're neglecting the shut-ins. You following me? We ought not to neglect the shut-ins, but if you, it could be one way for you to say, what is it that just like, oh, I cannot believe that. That may be your gift because you're so sensitive to that in a good way that may be an indicator for you that you are meant to fill that gap or at least help with that gap. You can't maybe fill the entire gap in some instances, but that may be a way for you to think about this is what are the things that get on your nerves? You know, I mean, there's things I would never notice. It's because it's not my gift, and so I don't have that as highlighted, right? So I want you to understand this then. Why is it important to know your gift? I think it is, and first, I think it's important so we can best edify others. It's this. What is the gift God's given you? Are you using it? Right? It's kind of like, it's when Jesus, and he was talking about money when he gave the talents 1, 5, and 10, and when he gave the talents, he came back, and all he expected was that they would properly handle and use the talents that he gave them. You can play a play on words there, right? Talents, gifts that he gave them. And all he would hold them responsible for is what he had given them. That's all. That's all he'll hold you responsible for. But I will tell you, God will hold every believer in this room responsible for the gifts he's given. So you should know what your gifts are. You should understand those. You should be humble about them because it's only been given to you by the grace of God. And you remember, it's not for you to put on a show and get attention. It's for you to encourage the brethren. It's for you to strengthen the brethren. It's for you to be a blessing and trust in the Lord. He'll bless you. Nobody has to trumpet it. Nobody has to see it. God sees it all. And so I want you to understand this. It's important so we can best edify others. And then I'm going to read some scriptures, and I've used some words here so we can develop, stir up, and fulfill our purpose. I'm going to read scriptures that talk about the gifts. Listen to these scriptures. Remember this. Why is it important to know your gifts? So you can develop, stir up, and fulfill our purpose. Listen to this. Paul writes to Timothy several things about his gift. He said in 1 Timothy 4:14, 1 Timothy 4:14 says, he's speaking to Timothy, Paul to Timothy, his dear son in the faith. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He told Timothy not to neglect the gift that was in him. Maybe he was more meek. And he was like, no, Paul, no, don't neglect the gift. He then writes in 2 Timothy, his last book, he says, wherefore, speaking to Timothy, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. It's stirred up. You know, you may get discouraged. You may feel like quitting. You may say, nobody appreciates it. Stir it up because you're doing it for the honor and glory of God. Whether you get a thank you, whether you get an attaboy, whether you get a boy, that's awesome. If you honor God, you'll get that well done. You just won't hear it until you cross over into eternity. God sees it all. And so when we know that, it's a joy. And that's one of the beauties. What would you rather have? What would you rather have? Hey, thank you, Stephen, or God going, man, nobody notices that Stephen is doing X, Y, Z, right? Would you rather have my blessings or God's blessings? God's. You just assaulted me. No, absolutely, duh, right? No doubt about it, right? And so when you feel neglected by mankind, God will never neglect you. We do it for God, not unto men, right? And then listen to Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. I'll be there next week, Lord willing. And say to Archippus, he says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now listen to this. I believe he says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Fulfill the gifts that God has given you. Don't be discouraged by this message. I want you to be encouraged. Your gifts don't have to be showy. They just are your gifts that God's given. You know them, you use them, and a lot of them are behind the scenes. That's what we're going to find out tonight. So let's just, and then one final thought. I don't have this on a point, but again, I think I've said this, but make sure that we live out our gifts with grace and humility. This isn't one of the gifts that are listed in the scriptures, but one of the things God's given me is energy. I've told you this before. I've only recently, really since I had COVID, and so I'm a little bit of a baby. I still have a ton of energy, but I'm more tired than I've ever been. And it's like, whoa, I feel like a normal person. What's going on? And I will tell you, I can go. Now, when I crash, it was just the way I was when I was a little kid and the way I was when I was not a little kid. I mean, you know, when Deb and I were dating, not unusual for me to be up two straight days. She knew when I was up two straight days, boom, I'll collapse. I could do that. 50 hours, 54 hours, could do it. Crazy, I know, right? I will tell you, when I used to come home, when we'd go on vacation, I'd come home from work and I'd say, load up the van. 16 hours later, we'd arrive in Orlando. Not going to bed. No issues. No no-dos. None of that. Just fine. No problems. It is, so here's kind of my attitude. You've got to be careful of this. Whoever didn't have energy in here, loser, get with it. What are you doing? Lazy. Wrong. Sin. You understand that? What it was unthankfulness. Lack of gratitude to God for something that he had given me in abundance. And sin, terrible. I just want to tell you this. It is never our place to look down at another believer. Ever. If you find yourself doing that, then repent of it. And it's probably because, guess what? I thought I was hot stuff, that I had energy. What have I done for energy? Nothing. I was born. Nothing. You know, I love energy. Man, I tell you what, I don't want to be like you all. I know it gets me in a lot of trouble sometimes, right? But it's like, you know, I mean, I'm always moving. And so I'd rather do that. But I don't have an attitude. Be thankful, be humble. And it's by the grace of God. It's not because of anything special about you, but it's good. Now let's look at these seven gifts. There's seven of them listed in Romans here. And I'm just going to focus on these because I think there's enough here for us to enjoy, and I want you to really think about this. I want you to be challenged. Remember this. This is important. I want you to always know this. I want you to think, what gift or gifts? You know, I read all kinds of stuff, right? God only gives people one gift. You know, if the Bible said that, I would say that. And it's like dogmatic. Like, okay, I just can't find it in the Bible. And so I'm not going to preach that. If you think God only gives people one gift, more power to you. I'm not preaching it. But I do know this. He gives you at least one gift. I want you to understand that. I want you to use it for His glory. And I want you to be thinking about that. If you don't know what those gifts are tonight, then you're in a great place. Because we're going to point you to the Scriptures, and I want you to delight in that. The Lord wants you to know that. He doesn't want it to be mysterious. He wants it to be obvious. And here's what's interesting. Other people probably know your gift, maybe, and you don't. Ask people that you love and that care for you and that'll give it to you straight. I, as a pastor, you ask me, I could almost, with every single person, I could walk through here and I could tell you, here's the gift I think you have, here's the gift I think you have. You think you have that gift, but you don't. Here's the gift I think you have. No. here's the gift I think you have, you know. And so I may be wrong, okay? But I think many times your gifts are that evidence. So now let's look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So these seven gifts, the gifts listed in Romans, there's seven of them. First, prophecy. Now, this, I just love the Lord. It's like, Lord, do we have to bring this one up? Because I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 13. I believe this first gift listed in Romans, and there's debate about this, so I'm not going to be mean-spirited about it, but let me tell you, I think we'll be in agreement with why I conclude what I conclude. I conclude that this particular gift has been done away. And I'll explain what I believe this particular gift is. 1 Corinthians 13:8. 1 Corinthians 13:8, here, 1 Corinthians 13, you just think love chapter. Charity chapter, whatever you want to call it. Love chapter. That agape love. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says this. It says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or they shall cease, they shall end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, that's talking about special knowledge, it shall vanish away. And I'm not looking at 1 Corinthians 13, but let me turn there. Because it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I believe it's the Word of God. It's why you don't see tongues spoken of in history when we had the final, completed Word of God. 96 AD was the last book of the Bible. You don't see tongues mentioned. Tongues were ceased. Now, here's why I believe this one. There is debate, and you can go back and listen to some of my messages. I've been on both sides, that there is a place for prophesying to be proclaiming and issuing forth the Word of God. Okay, so if you're there, I'm not in disagreement with you. But I believe when it talks about this, because of what it describes, he says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It is this. Here's what I believe this definition to be. It's receiving and proclaiming truthful revelation of God, especially about the future and judgment of sin. So here's, with this definition, you'll understand why I would suggest I think this particular gift is ceased. It's receiving and then proclaiming truthful revelation of God, especially about the future and judgment of sin. If that's what this is speaking about, and it does have broader definitions, that I'm going to have a revelation of God about the future. I'm going to have a revelation of God that about the judgment of sin, and I would declare that I think that has been done away. I'm not suggesting that God does not burden your heart, and He doesn't place thoughts in your heart that are from Him that you may need to act on. How does a man know he's supposed to go to Wales? Right? I believe that's a revelation of God. I'm not trying to be extra biblical here, but how do you know? Well, I think it's God speaking to you, and you're trying to figure out, is that really God speaking to me, right? Or is it just an emotional missionary conference I went to, or an emotional mission trip I went on, right? And so, but God does reveal things to us, but I think the revelation in which you would say, that man's a prophet. I don't think we have any more prophets in that vein. So I think that's why I am concluding that when it says this, and it says prophesying according to the proportion of faith, it is there are things that God would reveal to His prophets, and they would proclaim it, and those would be tough things to proclaim. Aren't you glad you're not Jeremiah? Or aren't you glad you weren't Jeremiah? Right? I mean, you haven't seen the half of it, what he's about to go through. And it'll take us weeks and months to get there. But Jeremiah was a faithful man. And I'm sure he didn't want to proclaim it. Not because he didn't love God. because he knew people. And what his message was not a good message. So out of these seven gifts, this is the only one that I believe does not exist today. I base that on 1 Corinthians 13 and that there are some gifts. We have the completed, perfect word of God. Without a doubt, that's what I believe. Verse 10 is in 1 Corinthians 13, that which is perfect has come. Jesus is not a that. He can never be a that. It's clear in the Greek. It's not talking about a person. It's talking about something. The only thing that's perfect outside of God, outside of the Trinity, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is the Word of God. And so I want you to know that. And so when that which is perfect, I think we've seen that evidence. We have 2,000 years that scream that. Now let's look at this. I want you to just begin to think about yourself this. So he says this. Here are some gifts. First he talks about prophecy or prophesying. And then he says, you know, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And so what this is this is just, this is supernatural servanthood. Now, I want to make this comment. I want to make sure that you understand this. That all of these gifts listed outside of prophecy that we're going to talk about. So let me just give you the gifts that we're going to talk about. Ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. All of those are to be part of every believer's life in this room. Right? Now, so I want to help you understand this. Let's just say this. We hear it a lot with the nursery. It's okay if you've said no to the nursery. I don't know that list, so I try to stay away from that. It's like, hey, would you serve in the ministry? That's not my gift. That is not what we're talking about here. Okay? And I know there's times where you might not be able to serve in the ministry. I'll tell you this. When you hit 90, you're exempt. All right? We're just going to be clear about that. You do not have to serve in the nursery. So, Sister Ralph, I'm not talking about you. Everybody else. No, I'm just, you know, so it's, we're not talking about that. So every person in here, you're called to be a servant. You are a bond slave. Now, I want to make sure you understand that word bond slave. It's a voluntary bond slave. It's like you submit and you say, make me your servant, permanent. That's salvation. It's a voluntary submission, and you are a servant of the Lord. But there is this. There are some of you that you're a blessing, and you're a blessing to me as a pastor, you're a blessing to us as a church, and our church might not know that. And so you know this, you just serve. You just do. You see a problem, and you're like, huh, that needs to be done. And you do it. You very well may have the gift of ministry, the gift of service that says, you know, I mean, I thought that was one of my gifts when I was not a pastor. I was always kind of like the number two guy, and I said, I'm the flunky boy. Whatever you don't want to do, I'll do. Whatever you hate to do, I'll do it. I just loved ministry. I love everything about ministry. I still buy the coffee. I hate coffee. But you know what I do? I love the variety of coffee. I'm a little kid in the candy shop. I'm like, ooh, they haven't had this variety yet. I'm thinking, it's just dirt anyway. And so it's got a little yellow package and it looks like, ooh, fun dirt. And so I love I don't mind doing that stuff. I don't mind doing it, right? And I came here this morning and they cleaned up well. You know, I came here this morning. I get here about 8 o'clock on Sunday, so just to make sure, you know, everything's good. And when it's not, I have more time in prayer. But this morning it wasn't, because there's a little activity here last night, and man, somebody blew up the boys' bathroom. And it was like, oh, I don't know if I have the gift of ministry anymore. But I just thought about it, and I thought, you know what? Isn't it good to be a Christian? What in the world else do I have to do at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning? I have some other ideas, Lord, but you know this? If you'd walk in and maybe you had a visitor walk in and see that terrible bathroom, it's not good. Do you love to serve? You see something and you say, you know, the gift of ministry, the gift of service, it's supernatural, and you just love doing it, and there's nothing like it. And so, but everybody is called to serve, but there are just some that's like, that's their favorite thing to do. And we've got some in here, and I praise the Lord for that. You're a blessing to me. I don't want to abuse you. This is important. When you volunteer for something, it's not a lifetime contract. It's just 99 years, okay? It's not a lifetime contract. You can do something, and I promise this. All you have to tell me is, Pastor, I don't want to do that anymore. Now, remember this. When you talk to me privately, I'll be like, is it because you're disgruntled? Is it because you're unhappy? Or is it because you just hate doing that? You know, and I'm going to ask you because I want to see, is this a spiritual issue we're having? Because I'll pray for you. But it's okay if you don't want to do it anymore, right? I tell you, people ask me, say, how long are you going to pastor? So I don't want to. I love saying that because people are like, I thought once called, always called. I go, just show me a Bible verse. I've heard that preached so many times. So do I. Just can't find a Bible verse. And so it's like this. I want you to know this. I'm not here to abuse you. If you feel abused by me and taken advantage of, you talk to me, and I promise you this. We want to get you to a place because when you are using your gifts, it's sort of like this. It's like, oh, I just love it. You know what I mean? Maybe some of you just love cleaning that bathroom floor, and it's just like, I'd rather do this than anything else. Now, I want to tell you, you still need to be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So this doesn't exempt you from the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what this is about, right? But if we're going to be a church that actually functions the way God wants, we need to use our gifts for the benefit of this body. All right, so ministry. Next, we see teaching. Now, here's what this is. Supernatural ability to study, understand, and instruct others in the Word of God. I believe this. You know my passion. You know where I'm at. I believe God's plan is that every single believer in this room teach others. That's called discipleship. You do not have to have this special gift of teaching to do that. I believe God equips every one of you to fulfill the Great Commission. But then there is special gifts that He will give to people that they study, they understand, they can instruct the Word of God in a different way. Those are people that will be more permanent teachers, and we strive to see that. We try to develop that as well. I try to seek that out. That's why I love our men rotating. I love to see that, love to develop that, love to grow that. I want our men to be comfortable with that. I love our ladies teaching. The ladies have been called to teach other women and children. What a wonderful ministry. Incredible ministry, but this teaching is this. So don't get discouraged. Let's say you know somebody, so I'll just call you out, right? I think you probably have the gift of teaching, right? Do you agree with that? I know. So are you trying to exercise humility right now? You're like, amen, I knew it. No, I think you do, right? And so would you agree or disagree? You don't know. I think you do. Is this the first time you've ever thought about that? Okay, we'll talk about it later. Anyway, I say that in a good way that, you know, you love the Word of God. You love teaching the Word of God. It comes easier for you, and people receive it well, right? I mean, every time you preach when I'm gone, they're like, Pastor, amen. You ever think about whales, you know? I'm going to steal a joke from Jim. I'll say, well, like Jonah, yeah. Don't be discouraged by people where you say, man, it just seems like they understand the Word of God differently. Maybe they were given the gift of teaching. Maybe you have to labor a little bit more. Are you willing to labor? Are you willing to study? Are you willing to do that? That's the gift of teaching. And I will tell you this, gift of teaching is an awesome blessing to a pastor in a church. Because I'll tell you this, we want to receive instruction, we want to give instruction, we want to use that, and so it's a great blessing, teaching. And then look at this, he says, of ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Exhortation's just simply, you're a supernatural encourager. Every one of us ought to encourage the brethren. I don't think this is my gift. That wasn't that funny. But I think I can encourage. You're like, oh man, just skip it, Pastor. But I know this. I've got to work on this. I just want you to know this. I love you, and I don't want to discourage you. You tell me this, and I'll back off in a sincere heart. If I discourage you, you tell me. I know I can do that. I pray about it. I'm burdened about it. I don't want to be a discourager. You're not my people, you're God's people. I beg him, oh God, don't let me discourage people. You know, but I want to encourage you, but this is probably not my gift. But there's some people just like supernatural encouragers. You know, and a guy like me that doesn't have the gift, I'm like, fake. You are a faker. No, they probably got the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation, right? And a guy that doesn't, I'm like, phony baloney. But no, they've got it. I've seen people. Have you ever seen people that are so nice you think they're faking it? And so I'm always like, I'm going to catch them. I send people their way, right? And no, they're really nice to them. I'm like, huh,
I wonder.
I can't be that. But they've got the gift of exhortation, the gift of encouragement. That's not the gift of flattery. You understand the difference? It's not that you go around and say, hey, man, make things up, right? It's just, I'm not going to make something up now. It's not flattery where you're just trying to just say words. You're legitimately encouraging them because you believe it, right? Not just because you're just wanting to make them feel good. It's not a feel good. It is this. Love you, man. Love you, man. Let's go after this. And you're just an encouragement. It's like kind of like, you know, when you guys know who the encouragers are. Because you just go by and it's kind of like, you know, you're like, oh, I feel better now. And that's the gift of encouragement, right? And we need that. We'd love that. I don't think we can have too much encouragement in the Lord, can we? And so that's the gift of exhortation. Now the gift of giving. And the preacher said, no, it says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And just, it's this, there's supernatural giving. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but you know, I say the three T's. There's time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure, right? And so, I'm not forwarding these, am I? So I was supposed to, the gift of giving. And so, there are marriages, right? There are marriages where it is, one might have the gift of giving and the other isn't. You pray about that. It is, it's interesting, right? So, you know, when you have the gift of giving, money's not important to you. Every one of you, I don't emphasize this, but God's people give in the right with God. Every believer ought to tithe. That's the minimum standard of God's word. And you know, you'll get blessed by God. But but then there's people that's their gift. Boom. They just give over the top. God's blessed them. And it's simple, and you wouldn't know it. That story you told me today, Bev, that person didn't have the gift of giving because they had to tell everybody about it, right? And so you don't tell everybody about it. Whoever has the gift of giving in here, you probably don't know it. They just love to give. They look for opportunities. They just like, oh, hey, oh. We have in our church, this is so cool. This is so cool. And this isn't a criticism of anybody. When they got their stimulus checks, they came to me and they said, Pastor, we've set aside our stimulus check. You just let us know who has a need. And now you guys would be like, man, I need to see the pastor tonight. And we'd love to help them. Is that just cool? I cannot believe all of you other people sucked up your stimulus check. Look, it's the gift of giving. You don't think that way. That's okay, right? It doesn't remove us from the minimum standard that God gives us and then to be generous over the top. But it's this. You guys are thinking, dummy, you don't have the gift of giving. Some of you with your time, I worry about your time. I say, whoa, too much time. And you'll be like, you don't understand that. Now, I really want to manage that, right? I want you to make sure of this, that your family's a priority. You need to schedule your family. If you're a schedule person, right? I need to schedule my wife, right? I took her out on that date, and I've told you guys about it 37 times. And I need to take her out again, right? I do. 2023, honey. Mark it down. And it is because we need that. We see each other, but she needs to know, hey, we're getting dressed up tonight. Going to McDonald's. And but it is, so some of you, I've got to manage your time because you'll just. I was told this once because we had a person here that they would just give and give, and they said, if you don't back off, Pastor, they're going to get a divorce. I said, but we have needs. No, I didn't. I backed off. We began to hire things out. And you know what? I wasn't unaware because I was loving being here every minute of that time, and I'm not looking to abuse you. If you're miserable, you let me know. Misery is not part of Christianity. There's a time of endurance of hardship, but serving the Lord is not misery. You understand that? It is delight. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. I mean, if you think there's something better, you've been fooled. There's just nothing better. So the gift of giving is just giving of your time, your talents, your treasure, and everybody else will think you're nuts. In fact, they'll think you're, you know, but it's just good. It's just good. Now, the gift ruling. So it says here, look at this. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with his simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And so ruling would be like the supernatural ability to lead, organize, or administrate. And so we need that. If you ask me, that's probably one of the gifts God's given me, but I overused it. Here's where I did that. For 30 years of my life, I could put big activities together, run everything. I was always leading, organizing, running anything you can imagine. And I forgot it was about people. I was involved with people, but not intimately, not specifically. By God's grace, I'll never forget that. I want to tell you this. If you have the gift of ruling, of administrating, of leading, your life is easier without people. I mean, I know that's so crazy. You're like, wait a minute. And so you can get sucked into administration. You can get sucked into leading. Use your gift, but where the delight of ministry is in people. I love you. I love your families. I love looking in your eyes. I love this. It's so good. I know life's hard, but you want to do what's right. And so I never want to just, if you got that gift, I don't want you to get carried away because you can, it's easier. I don't want you just to lead, administrate, and organize. Use that gift, but be involved with people. Never forget that. Never forget Jesus first, people second, and use your gift for the benefit of God's people. All right, so that's ruling. And he says, rule with diligence. It's not, in 1 Peter 5, it talks about that, you know, pastors should not be, you know, just pressing and, you know, what's the word? What's that? Yes, there it is. And there's one other word too. Let me see this here. One other word I'm looking for. It is not being overlords, but maybe that was it. Not by constraint. You failed me. No. So it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. That's what I was looking for. And then that neither being as lords over God's heritage. That's important. That's the same thought, right? It's this, we need to do it with grace and love and humility. I'll just tell you this, and I'm almost finished, but man, it's gone way too long. It is, I remember when I first was pastoring, I strong-armed a business meeting. I still regret it today. It was 7 years ago. I never need to do that. And that's why we put the two-week process in. If there's angst, we cancel the meeting. We're not going to, and I'm not going to strong-arm business meetings. Never going to. I regret it. It'll be a blemish in my heart. The Lord's forgiven me. It wasn't a big deal. The church did what I wanted to do, but uncalled for. I need to lead with simplicity, with diligence, not being lords over God's heritage or by constraint, which I think is far better. But I want you to understand that when God's giving you that gift, it's not so you can go around with a baseball bat beating people over the head with it. It's so that you can lead and say, that was terrible. Charge! And you're at the head of the line, right? We're going to hear that Friday night, June 11th. And then finally, it's the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. This is probably my strongest trait. My trait. I'm just kidding. Here's supernatural gift. It's to minister to those that are sick, hurting, afflicted, and in need. You have the gift of mercy. You will see needs of people that I would never see. You will sense that they're hurting, and I would never sense that because you have the gift of mercy. You have the gift. You are like the Florence Nightingale. No one will ever call me Florence Nightingale for a variety of reasons. But my two daughters are nurses. The worst fit for me would ever be a nurse. I'd walk in the room and be like, you know, most illnesses, 96% are psychosomatic. So why are you here? suck it up, let's get out of here. You probably don't even have insurance, do you? And I talk about that, right, to my daughters and those in the medical profession. As a Christian, you have a need to minister to their health, their physical. But see beyond that, it's a spiritual need all the time. I love that. We need that, right? I'm concerned about this, right? I joke about it. I need to have more mercy. I need to have more tenderness. I need to have more gentleness. I need to have more kindness. Because here's the killer about what I have to realize. What my spirit and personality is will exude and affect you. Here's why you need to let your mercy so shine. Let your exhortation so shine so that you infect me as well. Do you see this? We cannot have a one-person show. Because you will then only be affected by the gifts God's given me, and we laugh, but it won't be by the gift of mercy. So if I'm the only one that's disseminating impact on God's church, we're not going to be a church of mercy. If we are not a church of mercy, we will not do what God has called us to do. Do you understand that? We need to be a place of refuge. We need to be a place of health. We need to be a place of help. And so we need people with the gift of mercy, exhortation, giving, teaching, service, ministry, all of those gifts. These are just a taste, but these are probably, this is my favorite succinct section of gifts that I think you'll get. You'll understand. There are more. If you want to search those, I'll help you. Others will help you. Ladies with ladies, men with men. But I want you to know this. If you're a believer, God's gifted you. How are you using it to build, exhort, encourage the church you're a part of? Let's pray.